Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast. Once again, in front of a live audience here in the Flandrian Hotel. Really excited to have everyone here for the Milan Sanremo preview, the first monument of the year. And for context, I'm a little bit cooked. Benji's a little bit cooked. We were out in the rain all day today. So it's fortuitous we picked the easiest monument to preview of the year for today. So no promises on accuracy. I might just default to picking Van der Poel at some point tonight. Because that's the easy way to go.
It's also perfect because we're now on the Tuesday day before the race, which means that there's about three teams confirmed for the race. So we're going to have a bit of guessing work when it comes to the rest, but we should eventually be fine because most people that ride the race that are the most important for our riders for the race, we roughly know that they ride the race. So that's viable. But before we jump into favorites, before we jump into who could have a chance of doing something, will Pogacar attack on the Cipressa again this year? Well, again, at some point in his life, what's the route looking like? Is it always the same?
No, it's different. Well, they just picked these, I don't know if these towns are paying for it, but they're picking these random satellite towns outside of Milan. So I think Milan's not giving them any money because I remember last year it started close to where my boarding house was when I lived there, and that's not so nice. And now it's starting in Pavia. So outside of Milan, probably easier to start there. Maybe that's where the race starts in neutrals in Milan.
False. Every single time we speak on this podcast, you talk about having lived in a place that is not where you currently live. At this point, I think you'll live all over the world.
A few places. but yeah, it's the same. Paso del Turquino, I don't know, the weather looks kind of normal. So whether they're going to be snowed in and have to be bused to the finish, I doubt it. And that doesn't change the race. 288 Ks. The Capo Mele start with about 60 Ks, 55 Ks to go because it's not the full 300 this year. And then there's the Cipressa Poggio combo, which I love. I'm glad they don't change this race. I find like Liège and Flanders sometimes could do with a reboot because say Pogacar won Flanders like five times in a row, attacking second time Quarmont, reduces it to three guys, attacks last time Quarmont wins. I think you have to change the parcours, whereas this is Moritz, Sturve, Van der Poel dominant attack or descent or sprint. I think it's perfect, this race, and the historical comparison is so good to even the 90s races with Kelly because it's the same route.
And for the people that aren't necessarily the veterans when it comes to cycling, yes, it's a race of, this year, 288 kilometers. It's a very long race. It's a lot of hours, 6-7 hours, I'm pretty sure, on the bike. When it comes to this race, what makes it so hard? Because if you look at the first part of the race, it's okay, everybody's riding at tourist tempo until the last 25% of the race where it slowly starts ramping up towards the finish line. But what's the reason that we suddenly see it kicking off and some people are directly cooked?
I think for someone like, for Van der Poel, I'm not sure it matters too much, to be honest, because he came in no race preparation and came third in 22.
From back injury.
Yeah, back injury, I mean. I think he might have been chilling and didn't want to do some cyclocross races. No, maybe he was injured. Sorry, he might have been injured. For him, the superstars, but for someone like Sturve, who's like 30, right?
Yep.
Or Moritz, I think this gives him more of a chance. Because if you have this sort of race, 150 Ks, those two climbs, Moritz never wins. Because everyone's too fresh. Domestique's too fresh. He doesn't have the best 5 minutes and 5 minute power. But with 300 Ks in the legs, then there's no Domestique to close him down. And then he can do a good descent. I think it's perfect. And yeah, Poggio it's not even that hard. Like if you rode up it as a cycle tourist, like we were today, maybe we'd make it look hard, but it's not that hard. 3.5 Ks, 4-5% with a 6% section where Alaphilippe would always attack. I think it's great. So I'm in traditionalist mode for Sanremo. The favorites, according to the bookies, I was shocked to see this. And the normal bookie I look at is blocked in Belgium. So and I looked at your guys' offerings and I was not impressed. So I got someone to screenshot it for me. Van der Poel and Pogacar, joint favorites.
Okay.
Joint favorites. there's nothing in the race last year that suggests to me they should be joint favorites in this race.
Well, last year was very dominant when it comes to Vanderpool. He was strong on the climb. Pogacar tried to attack a billion times after his team really tried to blow it up already from the Cipressa onwards. And then look at Vanderpool, and it's also, he's just a really bloody good descender. So whatever gaps he makes, he can actually keep on the others. And obviously with Mohoric, that was also the case, but he made that difference on the descent. Do you think there's a, where do you see the difference? Because
but why is that? Why are they equal?
I didn't make the bookies.
I think it's because Vanderpool hasn't raced and Pogacar won Strade with 80K solo.
Possibly.
But I refuse to be fooled by Vanderpool anymore. I don't care that what he's been doing. He's been training. It's a monument.
Yeah.
He's going to be good. So based on what I saw last year, I'm surprised they're joint favorite. Pedersen's third favorite, 850, also surprising to me. But he is in good shape. Ganna, this is the really fourth favorite. Don't see that. He looks shocking. Moritz, former winner, fifth favorite, 17s. Laporte, 17s. Pidcock, 21s. He actually did look pretty good in opening weekend. I very surprised Ganna's ahead of him, but he did podium the race last year. Philipsen, 21. He looked not so sharp in Kerner on the climbs. Milan, 21. Dare I say it, Benji? I'm looking. Mm-hmm. And then it's Ewan, Coy, Søren Krabbe, Binnie, like proper sprinters, around 50s. I think the top two in the market are kind of undervalued,
yeah.
Underrated by it. Like when I see Vanderpool's chances or Poggi's chances of winning ahead of like current form Philipsen on this or Milan, I'm like, no chance the sprinters can win. Now that we're in Flanders, I'm super happy that I did the joint cycling training plan in the 8 weeks leading up to this, having done the Koppenberg yesterday, the Mur today, Wolvenberg, all these famous climbs. It was so much more enjoyable after I was completed. As of today, the joint cycling classics plan I put in. So there's different training plans on joint cycling. You can do a stamina builder, an FTP builder, something that's more trending towards short intervals. Or you can say, I have a one-day event or a classic style event like I did, put in the date, put in how many meters elevation there is, and then Join will create the plan for you, adapting, of course, to your availability, your level, and also your readiness. The readiness score, that feature that was brought in a couple of weeks ago, I found super useful as someone who's some days not sore at all, and I can bump up the training, say I feel more ready, and then Join adapts and gives me a harder session or a longer session. Some days, I don't know what reason, I have more soreness, and then I bump that down, and the session adapts accordingly. If you want to try out Join Cycling by downloading it on the Google Play Store or Apple App Store, you can download it and get a 30-day free trial, no strings attached, no credit card required, and then get a discount of 6-month membership or subscription. After that, Join will email you before your 30-day free trial ends. So no strings attached. If you want to get fitter for that big event in summer, or you just want to get a little bit faster on the bike as a beginner, Join adapts to you. You can input that. Why not try it out? They support the show and they support this episode.
So yeah, from your view, Vanderpool should be ahead of Pogacar.
Yeah.
And the gap between those two and the rest should be bigger. And
yeah,
I see that, especially the gap towards the others. When it comes to Pogacar, it's also like 2 years in a row, UAE has tried to make the Cipressa as hard as possible to then eventually try and go ham on the Poggio, sometimes in the wrong spot of the Poggio where they straight up had headwind. But then the question is going to be, everybody's going to ask this question going into every Milano Sanremo, until Pogacar wins the Milano Sanremo, is he going to attack on the Cipressa? And first of all, when it comes to wind conditions on the parkour, it's early, it's Tuesday, so there's quite a few days left. But currently it's saying that there's barely any wind, so I don't think it's going to have major effect currently predicted, which also keeps in mind, okay, it's not a tailwind Cipressa. It's not going to be the fastest Cipressa of all time. Let's see, because we've seen some fastest races of all time already this year. Was it Omloop? Was it Kuurne? Was it Strade as well? But those races...
Yeah, definitely Kuurne.
Those races were the fastest edition because they opened up so early and the race just kept going. And with Sanremo, you know the race is going to open up by the earliest at the Cipressa. But talking about that, Pogacar Cipressa, are we having this conversation or not?
Yeah, I've turned into I reckon I should get a job as a talking head on sports now, because I'm now like banging the hand on the table. He should attack on the Cipressa. I saw they try to set a pace. 1 year growth Shartland was there, did nothing.
Yeah.
Damar was there. It didn't do anything except thin out his own domestiques, and the sprinter survived. It didn't achieve anything.
Did they continue pulling after the Cipressa? Because I swear there was one year where they didn't.
1 year they didn't, and then the other year they used like Ulisi or Formolo to pull the flat.
Yeah.
And they hadn't dropped Van der Poel, and they then
like using Bernsteiner.
Yeah, but then you don't have the guys to do the lead out on the Poggio anymore.
Yeah.
It didn't work. So, I mean, we should look at, can their team even do it? Pogacar, Kovi, Hirschi, Wellens, McNulty, Novak, Ulisi. That's a really good team. They got like one ruler. That's uncharacteristic. Wellens is too good to just be a ruler, but yeah. Novak's the ruler. If you really want to put Van der Poel under pressure, you want to do it on the longer climb, on the harder climb. And surely if Poggi attacks after a nuclear pace from Hirschi, Wellens there, surely he can get a gap.
We spoke about the difficulty of the race and the fact that the race ramps up the attrition throughout the race that eventually delivers towards the end. But if they then go ham on the Cipressa, let's say they pull their train to the front, they hammer it like crazy, Wellens lost man, Wellens does his death pull like he did in Strade Bianche, tries to put everybody in the red, stuff like that. First of all, there's no real wind. How does that affect that ability to rip it open? And in addition, next to that, what's going to happen afterwards? Are there going to be people that can jump with Pogacar or will be willing to jump with Pogacar to begin with on the Cipressa? Or will it be alone against the group behind? And it's not from the bottom of the Cipressa straight to the Poggio, so he's got to survive that. Obviously, group dynamics in Strade work, but does that work at Sanremo where there's probably going to be more domestiques in a chasing group?
Yeah.
So what do you think?
I think he should still... Okay. Say he goes with Pidcock. I reckon Pidcock would pull. I think Pidcock should pull with Pogacar because you get to the base of the Poggio and then you just stop. And then you say, not my problem, you pull. And then Pogacar has to figure it out. If Van der Poel goes with him, is Van der Poel going to refuse to pull? I can't imagine he would play the, I got to wait for Søren Kragh Andersen behind.
Is Philipsen here?
Yeah, Philipsen's here. Yeah, well, in Roubaix, he was going to pull with Van Aert to the Velodrome with Philipsen in the group. So he's not going to wait for him in San Remo. So I think it's not even a bad thing. If, say, Poggi goes with Van der Poel, then they relay. Because what's he done the last 2 years? They do that. He gets a lead out on the Poggio. He goes. Van der Poel sits in the draft, does 30, 40 watts less, and then counters him from behind. And then Poggi's in trouble.
I'll be honest, when it comes to attacking on the Cipressa, I'm not sure this is the year that I'm already completely sold, but I am starting to feel like, okay, he's the kind of rider that would eventually, if he keeps losing Milano Sanremo, pull that trigger and say, fuck it, we're going to try it. And that's why it could be this year, it could be next year, it could be the year after, but it's going to happen at some point. And it wouldn't shock me if it happens earlier than I expect.
I think it should be this year. Van der Poel's team, let's talk about Alpecin. I read our UAE team. Alpecin, Søren Kragh's knee's been a bit iffy.
Yep.
He got pulled out of a few races. He's their best rider. He was so good last year. So last year on Poggio,
best almost stick.
Poggi goes. Van Aert sees Søren Kragh ahead.
Yep.
Van der Poel doesn't immediately go to close. Van Aert closes it. So, and then Van der Poel countered. You got Gergel injured. Potentially Kragh Andersen, Laurence Mürsa, Philipsen, Holman. It's not that good.
Unlike UAE, this is an unconfirmed team. So UAE was a confirmed team. This is an unconfirmed team, but we would guess that. Obviously, the Van der Poels of the world are going to be there, the Philipsens of the world. If Kragh Andersen's knee is relatively okay, he's going to be there. And I agree, it's not the most godlike team in the world. And then the combination of Visma Liseberg sending also not the strongest team they have. Let's be honest about it. It's a BRC team with strong leaders, I would say.
Yeah.
Christophe Laporte, Olaf Kooi, Johannes Toenemietits, Tosh van der Sande, both van Dijke brothers, and Julien Vermote. Julien Vermote is the Jos van Emden of this.
He's the Jos van Emden, yeah. So like, whether this race is the quickest or not is determined by how hard Julien Vermote wants to pull for 5 hours, pretty much. Like,
well, Visma shouldn't take control in this race because Olaf Kooi and Laporte are very good riders, but they're not the favorites in this race.
I would make Novak do it. Poor guy. But yeah, the Visma team, it's probably deeper than in previous years, but no Van Aert, so there's no like clear leader. Laporte was better Laporte was better in Strada than I expected, to be honest. Like, I thought he would full drop. He was not even supposed to be a leader there, like a full leader.
When it comes to Laporte, I also feel like, and Olaf Koy, similar story, Olaf Koy is going to have trouble, I think, when everything kicks off. Yeah. Like, if UAE hard bases stuff, and then they try and launch Pogacar somewhere, then Koy will be in trouble. Yes, he's a versatile sprinter, relatively, but it should be difficult for him. So Laporte should be the all-out man for them. And then I think about Laporte, and I'm like, okay, so Laporte, can he follow Van der Poel and Pogacar when they go? Just not, head. No. Which means that he's going to be dependent on the group dynamics in the second group, which, imagine if Trotnik was here by his side, then that could work out and go in his favor. But without Trotnik here, because Stonemeter, Van der Sande, Van Dijk, Vermote,
Van Dijk is in good form.
Yeah, but
and they're climbing well.
Are they going to get over the Poggio in the second group? I'm not saying that.
Tim or Mick could do it. They are really climbing well. Like, Tosh, no. Stonemeter, no, in current form. I'll have no, but if you look in the Paris-Nice stages, who's mm-hmm. around Jorgensen in some of the early stages is the Van Dijk brothers.
They're... Yeah, but aren't they the riders they will end up using to position Laporte in the first place at the foot of the Poggio?
Probably. Or even the Capomele, they're using Van der Sande. So yeah, they burn through them anyway. Laporte's an outsider anyway. He's an outsider.
Yeah.
I think the way he wins is Sturven style.
Yeah, has to get lucky.
Because, yeah, the other people making the race are the two big guys. Ineos, Ganna, form looks suspect. Haider, Kwiatkowski doesn't look his best. Narvaez, on the provisional list, last I saw he was in Ecuador, so I don't know how long the flights are, but he was obviously, he's their highest point scorer so far this year. Pidcock, Rowe, Ben Swift didn't come second here, but that's like a stat that gets repeated every year. It's a solid team. I think Pidcock's the man because Pidcock looked in Tirreno. It's funny. He went to Tirreno,
mm-hmm.
classic GC race, no mixed stage that suited him at all. And then in Paris-Nice, there was six stages that suited him. But he went to
the not perfect one.
He's decent at Strade. I think Pidcock's got more of a chance of following on the Poggio or Cipressa because it's asphalt. Not Ganna.
When it comes to a rider like Ganna, it's also like, yes, his focus this year is on the Olympics. It's on track. It's on trying to get as much out of that as possible. And like you said, I'm not completely sold on his year so far because his time trials haven't been that great. Yes, he got second in the first Tirreno ITT, but I expected him to win it. Simple as that. And then I think about last year, he was good in like these uphill sprints in, was it Provence against Coquard and so forth? I was like, damn, like, he was showing something in even the road races. And and this year, like, he's not on the professional start list of Roubaix, which is shocking to me. And then to see him here, I want him to do well. I want to see Ganna win something big, a big road race like that. But it's always going to be hard for him to win. He needs some group dynamics to benefit from that. And if his form is exactly as we saw it before this year, then it's going to be difficult to make that split when it happens. And then if you look at that team, yes, there's quite a bit of people that can help positioning before the Poggio, but...
Narvaez, the only wild card.
Yeah.
I really don't know in a Tratnik role, Narvaez. Yeah. To your point, Algarve, Ganna was top 10 last year on Malau, the like shorter uphill finish, 52nd this year. So the shape is not the same.
I just saw a crime. Alex Aramburu is not on the provisional start list. Yeah,
it's a provisional Movistar start list. They'll do it on Friday.
Aramburu will show up last minute, get seventh like twice already before. It's always happening. But we've spoken about a lot of teams. I feel like we haven't noted a team that is probably going to be the second team behind Visma in a lot of the Cobble Classics this year. And I wonder what your take is also on Milano Sanremo, because Mads Pedersen, Tom Squins, who had a really good envelope, and was really strong at Strade after crashing, after having a bike change. De Klerk, he's also going to be Jos van Emden Rol, I would expect. Ryan Gibbons is here. Alex Kirsch, Jonathan Milan, Jasper Stuyven. I feel like last year we started the year and Milan was doing well in the, was it Saudi Tour or something along those lines?
Yeah.
And we're starting to consider, is he an outsider for Milano Sanremo? But I feel like he's more become the real pure sprinter than the super versatile sprinter that I expect doing something in Milano Sanremo. So for me, it's really Mads Pedersen, Squins, and Stuyven trying to get over every single one of these climbs in the front group and hoping that they can get Pedersen to a potential victory.
Yeah, they got a former winner in Stuyvesant. They have Pedersen twice sixth.
Yeah.
Schoen's in good shape. I would say on Schoen's that I don't expect him to be as good here as the other races, because he's like, he needs every climb. Like, the best race for him is 250 kilometers.
Suffering.
I climb every 10 minutes, and everyone does it at 90% pace, and they do that for 7 hours. I think when it's like this, where they walk up to basically one huge punch, it doesn't suit him as much. And he's come 80 in the 80s five times or four times in this race. He's not had good results in this race. And Pedersen has always been in the second group. The problem for them is Schoen's, they're going to be hoping, is that guy. But who is the guy ahead? And I guess Schoen's is who they're hoping. But because Milan and Pedersen, it's like, if Milan's just behind in group three, does Pedersen wait? Like, because Milan is the quickest sprinter on the flat. But he is third favorite, Pedersen, so they think it's going to be him. Decathlon, as it is there, they just done. Did anyone see the kit of Decathlon today? What are they thinking? They have a nice kit. I don't like that they went away from the brown bibs, but they stuck with the blue and white with the diagonal.
It looked good.
Yeah, and now they have a Bridge Lane, Australian Conti team.
Yeah.
Mixed with Israel Premier Tech. I know Decathlon, I think the sponsor rebranded, but I mean,
not
it's
impressed.
Another navy jersey tie dye. I don't acknowledge them now for this race. So.
And to be fair, with their start lists,
not just Oliver Narsen second in 2019.
Wow, sorry, but it's been a while. Benoit Cosnefa has been looking a bit better this year.
Yeah.
But what do you reckon his positioning game is these days?
I got to pick a wild card from this team just because they're like flying at the moment.
You just said their jersey won't let you acknowledge them. And now you're saying there's going
to
be a wild card from this team that might win the race?
I also plan to have a dark horse from their team. So
you're stepping on
both
sides
here. My dark horse for podium is Narsen. He came fourth in Omloop.
Yeah.
And I think he could, you know, in a group behind Poggi and Van der Poel are clear. I wouldn't be surprised if he's there. The team is just doing so well at the moment. But Benoit, who knows what guy you're going to get with Gosnefra. Could be anybody.
Who was the Ajazer rider that last year was this specific moment on the Poggio where Trentin was a key rider for UAE that year, where he opened up a gap or let the gap open in front of him and the others had to come around. And that's how that first group of superstars with Ganna, with Van der Poel, with Pogacar got a gap. I'm curious how much that affected the outcome of the race, to be honest. Like, would that have changed the thing? Would that have caused another domestique of a team to be there? Stuff like that. But also, there was an Ajazera that was sitting the position behind Trentin and just missed out. And I can't remember if it was Cosnefra or Narsen or can't really be anyone else, I reckon, but no clue.
Well, that's Decathlon. Kung there for FDJ. They've also not got on the provisional start list Gregoire. Bit of a shame.
Yeah.
You'd think Alaphilippe Regen would be here. I guess Kung could make top 10. Pache looks okay, but no, there's no, like, not even a guy of sort of Pidcock Ganna level. Maxim Van Hills on Lotto Destiny, Benji. He looks really good for this race. Van Hills on the Andalusia TT, which I think was the Poggio in Spain. From memory, it was
technically
it's 5k's 3.5%.
Yeah, fair. I'd say so. About that though, Lotto Destiny is here without Arnaud Dely. Not going, they're saying, because the Le Samin injuries. I personally feel like it might be somewhat more related to, I feel like he just needs a win mentally.
Isn't he racing over in Lille in Denain on Thursday?
Exactly.
On cobbles?
Exactly. And also,
I mean, it's a little bit more difficult than cruising around San Remo in the bunch.
But also next to that, he's also doing Breda and Kokseide on Friday. Which it's still going to be a busy schedule. So recovering isn't exactly what I see from this move. I feel like it's more related to that he just needs that win mentally after, let's be honest about it, not a great year so far from Arnaud Dely. And yeah, I reckon he needs it before the classics arrive mentally to be able to be at the point of like, okay, I can actually still ride my bike at the level that I did at Omloop, that I can deliver a potential classics victory here. Because, yes, Van Hills is really good, but do I see him winning the race? No.
No, because if it's a group of three sprint, he's nice, but does he win? No. He has good punch.
Yep.
Not the best punch, but I think he's probably Lotto's best rider for this race.
Yeah.
Quickstep, Alaphilippe, former winner, but he just doesn't, you know. I wanted to be generous. I was saying, Kona, he's gonna make group one in the hill zone.
He's crashed so much the last weeks as well, eh?
4 or 5 times he crashed. Asgreen looks, Catania, their team doesn't look that good. Asgreen, Catania, Moscon.
Moscon's going to make the second group.
What? Why?
I think he was really good at Omloop until he attacked way too early.
Jamie Moscon, he's like, I haven't watched cycling for 3 years. Jumbo Visma doesn't exist to me. There's 4 or 5 Jumbo guys in the group. He's like, fuck you. I'm just going to start attacking Laporte at like 80 k's to go. And he had good legs, but then...
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Didn't have good legs, but I respect the enthusiasm. Tudor Pro Cycling, we have to mention, I think they're a serious team now. Like, they just won their first World Tour race. They look really good.
Good old Arvid.
Meyerhofer is Arvid. No, Arvid can't get over a speed bump. He's not here. Trentin, sorry, Luke. I know he's your boy, Arvid de Kline, but I know that he's from the Netherlands. It's all flat. Meyerhofer won Cadel Evans road race, probably the better version of this race.
What?
Yeah, well, I tried to sneak that one in. Trentin and Meyerhofer are their two guys. I think Trentin's climbing better. Trentin is the guy who lost the wheel. He's the guy who flicked everybody last year for Poggi.
Exactly.
On the Poggio. So he'll be in first 10 wheels. Meyerhofer, I don't
know.
Hopefully
he doesn't do it again, because then he's fucking himself up.
Well, he won't. He's not an idiot. yeah, Meyerhofer came top 10 in Kona.
Yes.
Well, I didn't, and now I do. So maybe he's on for
to be honest. Tommy Dior did.
Don't know who that is. no disrespect. But
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Another previous winner we've perhaps disrespect not mentioning so far, Moric.
Yep.
I haven't mentioned him. There's Fred Wright, Pascalon, the young Croatian Mihailovic, who actually looks quite sharp in the classics, Caruso, Arndt, Govacar. But I think with Moric, everyone knows his trick now.
Yeah, everybody knows his trick, but it's one of those things where you might know his trick, but can you respond to it anyway? Because 2 years ago, people also knew the guy could descend like crazy. And when he's in that group, you know he's going to attack in that descent. The riders in the group even said, okay, we knew he would attack in descent, we just couldn't follow it. And yes, Pogacar wasn't exactly the ideal rider to be in his wheel because he needs to make sure he survives to go to the Tour de France, while some other riders might risk their life to follow the wheel. But when it comes to Moric, it's also like, it's like Pogacar, it's slightly different, but like Pogacar on Strade, you know where he's going to do something. If he's there, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And whether they follow or not depends on their capabilities of doing it, regardless of their choice of doing so.
Israel Premier Tech now with a dual copycat kit in the peloton. They got Corbin Strong. He's not looked that good, Corbin, at the moment. I don't think.
Average.
We like Corbin. Above average. We like Corbin, but...
He looked relatively strong.
Oh, 400. He's looked okay. I thought he'd do a bit better in some... No, my concern is Sanremo, the run-in to the Cipressa is chaos.
Yeah.
It's 150 guys. No one's dropped.
Yeah.
And you're fighting for a single file right-hand turn. And if you're not first 30 wheels and UAE send it, it doesn't matter how good you are at climbing. So that's my concern. And even Poggio, they come in 70 kilometers an hour, right turn up. If you're back, you got no chance at that point. And in the big hectic bunch sprints in Tirreno, he struggled.
Is that a worry when it comes to Biniam at this race? Because that's right, when it comes to sprints, his positioning is still an issue, but... I have a vague memory of him actually being in a relatively good position at one Sunday, or is that just in my head? Just be in my head.
He came 12th in his first go. I think Binny's kind of strange where he, like, when the sprint actually starts, I'm not worried about Binny. I mean, he got relegated this week. I'm not worried about him getting mixed up and fighting for his position. It's, as you say, it's from 3Ks to 1K to go.
Yeah.
He gets lost in the washing machine sometimes. And is this team, Gijs van Hoeke, Calmejan, Pacquo. How do you say it? Pacquo? Smith, Turnus, Van Zimmerman. It's not there. It's not the best team either. We've gone through a lot of the favorites. Or,
mate.
And even more. There's one.
Zimmerman's going to make it in a group.
You're picking Zimmerman every race. I'm not standing for it.
Mate, he got third at what you called the better version of Milano Sanremo just 5 minutes ago. KLM's greatest in the road race. So the moth makes sense.
True. I mean, speaking of Australians, Jayco Ewan, Matthews Plapp. Ewan's shape looked not so good. And Plapp's shape looked good. But positioning Matthews, I don't know. Matthews was sick.
Yeah.
Was he sick?
I don't know, man. I just haven't seen him for a while.
He sprinted at the end of the TT and then he was sick. But maybe he wanted to peak for Sanremo. And they... hopefully he's not sick and hopefully he's here in good shape.
Yeah.
That's kind of it from the... apart from Christoph and Varenskold.
Yeah.
Demar doesn't look very good. Bora's team is... got Van Poppel as the main guy.
Do you mention Yef or do you not see much there? Because like...
oh, Betty old. Palace just doesn't look in good shape.
Yeah. I am always low-key hoping for a resurrection of Valgren after his injury. But the start of this year, he's not been terrible, but he's also not been at the level where I expect him to compete for these classics at any point, or even be in the second group. So at that point, I see Betiol's been looking okay when it comes to, was it the sprint where did he just beat Vauquelin, or did Vauquelin beat him in Tirreno?
Vauquelin beat him. So getting beaten by a GC rider in a sprint.
Why is Vauquelin not here? Come on.
That's a good question. Because they're Demar and they're paying him €1 million plus a year. So, and he won it. Oh, he's another previous winner. I would have lost it. I mean, dubious. We need to see the power files with the cadence, right? He put the power up and no cadence.
Yeah.
On that
I want to see the power file of the car first.
Yeah, fingerprint analysis. That's the handle of the car. See how much was there. No, he won it legit. Don't worry. They said so. That's kind of it.
No.
I'm not talking about Filippo Fiorelli.
You've gone through this entire list and you haven't spoken, or I might have missed it, about that young, talented Frenchman on Cofidis.
Zangler, yeah.
Hey, he's actually not shit.
I know, but then it's not fun anymore to pick him. Yeah, that's the point. He's good now, so it's like, oh, well, you're picking a good rider. That's the point. He's a good... Provence, he was good. Pedersen was better. Tirreno is okay in the uphill sprints, but again, he's just always fifth, third, second, third.
Yeah.
He just never wins a sprint except in the smaller races. And when it gets to World Tour level against World Tour guys, like Provence was against a World Tour guy, Pedersen, third favorite here, he just wasn't, even with Pedersen leading him out, able to win, even though I like him as a rider.
Are we underrating Laurens at Alpecin then? Because he was in that discussion in that race. And
he's so hot and cold.
That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, like Marseillais 28th, which is a hilly sort of
race.
He's
warming up.
True, okay. Well, I don't know.
See, from cold to hot.
And then Andalusia, he did the ITT and he hasn't raced for nearly a month after only doing 6 race days.
The entire race disappeared.
Yeah, but he could have done something else. Could have done Tirreno or Paris-Nice. Opposite teams there weren't the best from memory. So. Astana Velasco's looking really good. I really like Velasco. And my other dark horse, Christian Scaroni, is here. He was good in La Guelia. He came fourth there. And I swear there's an error with the Paris-Nice final stage. It says Battistella came sixth. It was Scaroni.
I swear Scaroni was in the group as well.
Yeah, so
that's a name that was showing up in the group.
Unless they were like, two young Italians, like, it's the same guy. Like, but it was Scaroni.
That's how Bardiani does their scouting, eh?
Yeah, kind of. I like Scaroni. He was so good in La Guelia. But this is a different level. I mean, I thought, you know who could also have been really good in this race is Jan Christen. I'm surprised they have. Alessandro Covi here, and me, I'm very surprised. And this is a confirmed from UAE. Thank you, UAE press officer. I'm surprised McNulty's here after the shittest weather in Paris-Nice all week, raining, and he has to back up and go to Italy and do this race, which I know he's a good one day hilly rider, but this isn't that sort of race. In the hustle bustle, he's not so good. I'm really surprised they don't have Christen, the young Swiss, here, because he was cooking in La Guelia.
But if I look at the teams and I think about the strengths of each team, then you've got Alpecin and you've got UAE. And we've already spoken about Alpecin and the fact that they've got quite a few riders that could do the riding at the front of the peloton, like Yuri Holman, for example, could do the pacing, the breakaway control, let's say that. UAE needs that as well, because let's be honest, if I'm Alpecin, I'm like, well, we're not doing it alone. UAE's got a pretty solid
saber. What's Yuri Holman going to do?
Well, control the breakaway.
Yeah, well,
Govi can control the breakaway. I think that's like, if you're UAE, you can't get around helping controlling the breakaway in a race where Pogacar's, according to Belgian bookies, equal favorite.
No,
and like, what is the strength of these riders? Because like, obviously, people know Van der Poel has the acceleration. He's got pretty bloody good descending, I would say. And yes, Søren Kristensen is a strong strength there. If we take a look at UAE Team Emirates, their whole strategy, like you already mentioned, and like we've spoken about, is that they're going to try and launch Pogacar somewhere, but...
But it's 10, 15-minute climbs. It's not even the Poggio.
Yeah.
Like, McNulty is a 10-minute climber. He or she... Okay, he or she got good punch. But Ulisi and Wellens, I think, are better on 5 to 10 minutes than the Poggio. So, where Søren Krah can do a harder lead out, I think they should go on the Cipressa. And I'm not just saying that because I want to see an extra half an hour of entertainment. I think just if it's not worked, throw shit against the fan and see what happens. So, yeah. But I think it's time to pick our winner, as well as some confirm the dark horses, Benji, because Nicola Bonifacio Korotek,
mate,
he's not making a difference here.
Isn't he's literally the guy that went so fast in the descent of the Cipressa that the local authorities had to come out and say that tourists shouldn't repeat what Bonifacio did on TV. That was generally a storyline three, 4 years ago. So this man has made a difference in the area, not on the race itself.
Yeah.
So
he lives nearby. He lives in Nice, I think.
Well, who's going to win, Pogacar or Van der Poel? Your pick first.
Van der Poel, yeah. Because I don't think they're going to go on Cipressa. I don't think they will. It's too many unknowns afterwards and then having to deal with. But he did it in Strada, but he won Strada already on Monte Santa Maria. So I think Van der Poel. I think either a two-up sprint, either he punches away at the end, but I just don't see Poggi full dropping him on Poggio.
I don't see that either. And that makes it hard to choose Poggi as winner, but I'm going to do it anyway because we have to be contrarian.
Will Poggi play full cool mode and refuse to pull with Van der Poel after the end of Poggio descent?
I don't think so.
You think he'd pull through?
I reckon he pulls through. Like,
I wouldn't.
Pogacar wants a split. Pogacar is the kind of rider that 90% of the time.
Who have you got behind?
Yeah, that doesn't really matter in this situation. If you want to try and put pressure on Van der Poel, that you just have everybody else behind as a threat towards Van der Poel. But then Van der Poel is going to say like,
Philipsen,
Pogacar might be the only one riding actually. Now Van der Poel would probably ride with Pogacar.
I think he should play it like Kwiatkowski and Alaphilippe with Sagan.
Yeah.
And pull as little as possible and hope he can win the sprint from the wheel. But Van der Poel, he needs the pressure from behind. Because if Van der Poel has 10 seconds, you've seen him Tour of Flanders. He's so cool.
Yeah.
He'll wait. 150 meters, bang, 20-second kick, and Pogacar can't win. So, but I think Van der Poel and then who are you picking?
I don't want to pick any of those two because I feel like it's fucking boring, man.
The big guns winning all the races is fine if another one is there.
But predicting them isn't.
If Vingegaard's at Tirreno, it should be the law that Poggi has to be there. Yeah.
And why is Wout not here? Can we talk about that? As in he's focusing...
Classic prep.
Well, is that also not classic Wout to skip 100 of races, to focus on limited races, and then eventually But
it's your press. If he wins in Italy, I don't care. He already won it. He has to win Tour of Flanders. He doesn't have to, but Tour of Flanders and Roubaix. They're the big goals.
It's always risky, I feel like, to skip.
I agree.
A lot of monuments or a lot of big races to go for a specific amount of goals, because for Van der Poel it worked, but Van der Poel had already won RVV.
I feel like Laporte just turns up to a lot of races in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
And 1 year he will get that luck from just being in pretty good shape, being a really good rider,
being a friend of Walt,
and yeah, that also that also helps. And he might win Sterling Star, but yeah, I like Van der Poel. So who are you going to pick then?
Think about your dark horse for a second.
I got dark horse.
Fiorelli's looking at you there for a second.
Scaroni, I really like Scaroni. Trentin, and I'm very Italian. I feel Italian. Who was that? What the FIFA head say? I feel Italian. when he was in Qatar. And I got to pick a decathlon rider, of course. I'm going to pick Oliver Naas in the podium.
Dark horse is kind of for the victory. So
okay. Listen, are you offering odds on that?
Fuck no. I'll get you a free drink.
Free drink. Okay. Fair enough.
Is that enough to choose a winner? A dark horse? I haven't even chosen anyone. So why am I forcing you to choose anything?
Mate, we do a podcast for 10,000 people every day.
I'm going to go for...
Don't let these people scare
Some people
you.
Are going to hate me for this, but I'm going to go for Johnny Moscon.
No.
Tour of the Alps stage win style. When was that? A decade ago?
He probably liked that Infantino speech. I feel Johnny Moscon, so...
Who the fuck is Infantino?
Yeah, FIFA guy. Don't worry about it.
me whenever someone talks about a different sport than cycling.
How is Moscon going to win? Run me through this.
Steven style.
So he's going to be second group Poggio.
Or following the first group.
Or basically already in the first group. And what? And Van der Poel stops riding? Crashes mechanical something?
No.
Okay.
There's this moment when we hit the bottom of the Poggio.
Yeah.
Where Van der Poel looks to the left and Pogacar looks to the right. And suddenly out of nowhere, Moscon comes. At a Bonifazio Cipressa style speed, flying past them. That's my theory. And he's going to do that because he's going to get a lead out accidentally by Søren Krogh Andersen behind, even though Van der Poel is in front, because he always rides.
His best result in this race is...
oh God, let's not talk about it. I don't want to hear it.
It's not so good.
Okay, I'm going to pick someone else. It's fucking good, okay? I'm going to go with Pogacar then, because it's...
Yeah, that's...
Even though it's really boring pick.
My last dark horse is Chris Nylund, the Latvian.
I don't see an easy way for Pogacar to win this at all, but then again, if it was easy, he would have done it already.
He can win the sprint. He can.
Against Van der Poel.
Yeah. If Van der Poel has real pressure from behind,
and Moscon coming up
and
has
to
high
open
speed.
From 300, then Poggi can win the sprint.
Yeah, so Moscon is always the key to the victory, here's what I'm hearing.
And that's the difference in this in Flanders. Here, you're never going to have, never say never, but you're never going to have 30 seconds. It's always going to be 10. Or 12 or 15 in the last 500 meters. You can't just surplus and wait like he did in Flanders. So that kind of counts against him. So Poggi can win the sprint and he can win on the Tresor if you listen to me. So, but yeah, I think that's all from Milan Sanremo, Benji. I mean, these are all the main favorites. The weather could change. The wind could change, of course. If it's tailwind on the Poggio or Cipressa, that suits Poggi in UAE. If it's headwind, I dare say suits Van der Poel.
I'm going to do what I usually do. I'm going to switch around and I'm going to say Pedersen for the victory.
Okay.
And I bet on Schoens actually being there in the second group to pace.
If he has Schoens there to pull it back.
Steven hasn't looked fantastic.
That's what Ewan always said.
Yeah.
He needed a guy to pull him to actually pull for him.
Wout in all the years, except the one he won, like the ones where Pogacar and Van der Poel was present, where Mohoric was there, if he had someone over there.
He needed Tratnik then.
Yeah, he needed Tratnik or he needed Roglic in a good position at the foot of the Poggio.
Yeah, that's not happening. all right, that's the Milano Sanremo preview. Really fun to do it live. Really good to do it after doing the cobbles today. And
about those cobbles.
Oh, yeah, you want to tell people.
I'm not sure how much we should tell. But
it was not that. It's not a state secret. We rode over them. I complained a lot. It was wet. I didn't go very fast.
What was the hardest cobble section, surprisingly to you? As in, was there like...
Paterstraat. Easily. Paterstraat.
You've done the Koppenberg today.
Yeah.
And you're saying the Paterstraat is harder.
Way harder.
Why?
Because I'm not that big.
That's
kind of soft, and I was cold, and
you're kind of soft.
Yeah, kind of soft, and
oh my teddy bear!
It just went forever. I was like, they didn't. No one thought. I was like, no one thought to asphalt part of this. Like a little bit of a break, and it's not even a hill. Like, yeah. What? It's flat. So why is it cobbled? Like, I understand you have to do cobbles for the steep ones because you can't do the asphalt. Maybe I'm like, why? Why are the cobbles here? Like, why did no one take them out?
Okay.
People are driving there. I saw people doing a school run. I'm like, you do this every day? I'm doing this as a novelty. I'm like, I'm here as a tourist. Like, what? People are all doing the school run like this is normal. I'm like, there's gaps between them like this big. I'm like, your car must be fucked.
Well, talking about cars, Luke's been a fantastic DS today.
DS, yeah.
So big old credits for him for driving like a responsible maniac on the cobbles is how I would describe it. But
he was good.
Obviously, I'm from Flanders, so... I enjoy being here. I enjoy the climbs is not true. I enjoy the cobbles, the flat cobbles. I enjoy those. So we've got some flat cobble plans this week that I'm very much looking forward to. A lot more than riding up the Kelmarbergen and the Koppenbergen and so forth. But what are like the cultural things that have shocked you here?
Oh, there are some things in Belgium. You do look at them, you're like, that's a bit, I don't know, that's a bit how you're going. That's how we say it in Australia.
What the fuck is that?
Well, like, so Koppenberg, I finished, turn right. There's two chickens. Nice house. Like, really nice house. Villa, like, beautiful view. Front door, like, expensive front door. There's just two chickens just standing at the front door. Like, no, like, like, they were, like, waiting to be, like, let in. And I was, like, in the street right there. I turn around, like, what the fuck? Like... And I was like, oh, it is raining, fair enough. If I was a chicken, like, I'd probably sit in the alcove. It's just stuff like that. You're like, but yeah, it's amazing. Like, we're here in the Flandrian Hotel. Like, shout out to Jamie and his
Bernard.
Team and his team and Bernard who
and on for the cooking.
Because like the being amongst all the bikes and the cycling heritage and then going out on the cobbles has just been awesome. So going to the Fratour was cool. Like yeah, just the beer. And going to the Centrum Ronde van Vlaanderen, it's just more like, I can understand how in 3 weeks or 2 weeks, everyone here will be going crazy, like the Tour of Flanders week. I understand it.
I think that's a fair thing. And also the seam of death in the road, you've spoken about that a few times.
Yeah, I don't go near it. Yeah, but then the craziest thing was what Luke mentioned to me was the Nakura Corsa.
Nakura Corsa, yeah.
Close enough. which is tomorrow. And I rode the finish, and the Bopland barriers were up, and all the barriers were up. And I'm riding a seam of death road, two concrete slabs, 2-inch gap in the middle. I see a sign on the right, 500 meters to go, and it's a descent. I'm like, no fucking way. They're doing a sprint lead out on this. Like, two.
It looked fucking dangerous.
But they do it. And we watch it on TV every year, and they do it. And it just makes you realize, like, they're fighting for position on these roads in the wet. And that's why the races are so good here. Because in such a small area, you can run a million different races. And, yeah, I joke about it sometimes. But the reality is the wind's a bit different one day, completely different race. The rain has a different effect, different climb. You sequence the climbs together. Yeah, they're unbelievable.
Is someone falling in love with the ChatGPT Belgian races?
You know that whenever you're at my, you know that on the iPad, I'll have them like there and I'll be like watching GP Montserrat with out of one eye.
Yeah. I've got a feeling that on Friday you're going to be at the start of Breda Coxade.
Yeah, yeah. They better be crosswind too.
The thing with me is like, obviously I'm Flemish, but I've moved to the UK now. And ever since I did that, I do kind of feel like, okay, I ride my bike regularly now. Do I regret not going to all these climbs before? And yeah, but then again, I wasn't informed, so I probably wouldn't have gotten up an inch of them before. But
yeah, they're right on your doorstep.
Yeah, relatively.
So yeah.
Well, compared to Australia, they're right at my doorstep. But it's also like when it comes to the difficulty of the climbs, the cobble makes it a lot harder. When it comes to the, it's also, they're all, we've spoken about fake news climbs so much on this podcast.
Yeah, that was...
Every single climb in this country is a fake news climb. No, we're talking about, well, what is it? The
Scherpenberg.
The La Deuze today.
Yeah.
6% average.
No, La Deuze. I was like, well, I don't even know what this is. Never heard of this. I just finished Koppenberg. And so I finished Koppenberg. I was like, oh, the rest of the ride's easy. Everyone told me I was going to die on the Koppenberg. So the rest of the ride, I got up. It should be relatively easy. And I'm like, La Deuze. I'm like, you could attack here. Like, why is this so steep? That was the craziest thing, that every climb, none of them are just like 2Ks, 4% asphalt. It's always like you have to do a little surge. You have to do an acceleration. You can imagine. And all of them, they never level off. They never properly level off. They have the steep bit, and then it goes 4% for like 300 meters. And that's where like Van der Poel, he always goes there. Like after the hardest bit, he then like goes on the 4% bit when everyone's on the limit. But yeah, it was really cool. And we'll do it again tomorrow. so yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
He says with tears in his eyes.
Yeah, tomorrow we're doing Molenberg, Waldenberg, Berendries.
Yeah. On paper, yes.
Yep.
We'll see if we survive.
They're asphalt, they're no problem.
Hopefully my bike survives tomorrow.
It will. All right, I hope you enjoy the Milan San Remo preview. We're gonna log off at least online for now, and we'll see you with the recap of it on Saturday from the same place. Until then, ciao.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.